Welcome, everyone, to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. My name is Chris Shore. Joining me, as always, Jake Barnett, and we are here for your SmackDown audio review for the SmackDown that aired August the 17th. Jake and I do this audio review for you every Saturday, bringing to you All Access. But we do several hours of audio on the .net site each and every week, and almost all of it exclusive for our members. We do a Raw audio breakdown as well as a TNA Impact Wrestling audio breakdown along with the SmackDown ones. Jason Powell does a Q&A audio where he allows .net members to ask both wrestling and non-wrestling questions. Jake and Will Pruitt get together usually on Wednesday for the .net countdown and look at the best and the worst in wrestling each week. I'm along periodically with a short audio slant. We're just kind of a catch-as-catch-can show. I do a little bit of everything on that. And Jason and I get together every Thursday for .NET Weekly. We say it's our flagship show. Usually around 2 hours, we review all the news of the week, often break news that's not made its way to the site. This week, we've got some information on Undertaker and his health and what his plans are going forward and just some other news there for you. And, of course, we've got all the old interviews that we have. There's interviews on there with Brock Lesnar, with Chris Jericho, with all kinds of people. All of that stuff is there in the archives ready for you to check out. And if you want to do that, all you have to do is become a .NET member. Head on over to ProWrestling.net. Look on the right-hand side of the page for the .NET member sign-up link. Click there, and we will get you started. $7.50 a month if you take the monthly option. We'll knock $2 off each month if you take the annual option, and you'll get access to all of that audio, plus access to the ad-free version of the site, the .NET member forum, and the .NET member blog section. Lots of value for your buck here at .NET. So click on that .NET member sign-up link on the right-hand side of the ProWrestling.net homepage, and we will let you get started with all of that. But Jake and I are here to talk about the SmackDown show. It's the go-home show for SummerSlam. Jason Powell and I will be back Sunday night with double coverage of that show, along with an audio review afterwards. That will be exclusive for .NET members as well. And this was WWE's last chance to sell SummerSlam. It's, you know, even though it's not as big, you know, I don't think that WWE thinks it's as big as most fans are. I do think that even WWE would agree this is their second biggest. Well, maybe they wouldn't agree it's second biggest. They might say Royal Rumble. But, you know, SummerSlam, Royal Rumble are your next tier right below WrestleMania. So big show coming up. Of course, this year they think it's a big show for no other reason than the headlining of Triple H and Brock Lesnar. Last chance to sell this show. And Jake, I'll ask you, are you more excited about the show after SmackDown, less excited, or about the same?
For me, it's about the same. I mean, I didn't think they did anything beyond spectacular, you know, on this show that really, you know, sent the point home. I think, you know, each angle kind of maintained where it was. If anything, you know, I thought Dolph Ziggler's performance was really good tonight. So if there's a particular feud, you know, that I'm more excited to see, it would be that one. But I think everything else kind of treaded water, in my opinion.
Yeah, Jericho and Ziggler used in different ways tonight, and I think really added something to their match coming up. Of course, the biggest news coming out of the show, Sheamus and Del Rio back on for the World Championship. I quickly to answer my own question, I'm about the same in excitement level as I am coming out of the show as I was going in. What do you think about this going back to the championship? For those who happen to miss it, Booker T cancels the match on Monday after everything that played out last week on SmackDown and played out this week on Raw. He cancels the match on Monday. Del Rio comes out to open the show, demands his match, says he has an attorney. We get Sheamus at the end begging to have Booker T reinstate the match. They do. What do you think about this angle, and what do you think they hoped to gain by canceling a match that they turned around 4 days later and put back on the card?
Well, I mean, just looking how the whole thing played out, I mean, you know, last week we had the rent-a-cops, the fake cops attack Sheamus, and then the match gets called off, and that leads to, you know, his arm injury angle, and then, you know, they got Jericho and Ziggler, you know, kind of intertwined with this main event feud on this show with the way the main event played out and Ziggler's eventual involvement, and then Sheamus, you know, trying to play the plucky hero who wants to compete, you know, despite being injured. And I guess to me, you know, they immediately, you know, changed gears and got Jericho and Ziggler involved in this. So my thought was they're trying to, you know, maybe, you know, imply that the briefcase is in play on Sunday and that, you know, Sheamus is injured. You know, we expect him, despite being injured, to retain over Del Rio, but maybe that would give you know, that would give Ziggler the opening he needs to cash in his briefcase, because I think everybody expects him to beat Jericho on Sunday.
Yeah, that's Jason and I talked about that quite a bit in .NET Weekly. Is could this be the coronation of Dolph Ziggler? Could this be Dolph Ziggler's big night? Could he, you know, beat up Jericho in a major way, put him out, or just get a great win, a good clean win over Jericho, and then turn around and cash in Money in the Bank and go on to become the champion? I mean, do you like that scenario? Do you think that's what they'll do? Do you think they'll go another way? I mean, what do you predict for Dolph Ziggler on Sunday? Like I said, there aren't many people walking around who don't expect him to win. And quickly, I just want to point out, I've said before that predictable is not always a bad thing. And this is one of those situations where everybody's predicting a Ziggler win. Everybody sees it for what it is. Everybody understands what it is. Jericho's going away. He's going to put Ziggler over. He's the Money in the Bank contract holder. It's going to be a lift for him, for a guy that needs it. We see what's going to happen. We know why it's going to happen. And yet, for me personally, it is still the match I am most looking forward to on the card, and not just from an in-ring standpoint. It's because I want to see how they do it. And knowing what the result is going to be is not always a terrible thing. It depends on how it's telegraphed, and in this case, it's how are they going to do it? How are they going to give Ziggler the big boost here? So I just wanted to kind of point that out as an aside real fast. But what do you see them doing? Is this the coronation for Ziggler? Do you think he cashes in on Sunday? Or do you think that, he'll get the win over Jericho? Maybe he's, maybe not. But he still leaves there Sunday night, not the champion.
Well, I'm not exactly sure what they're going to do. My clairvoyance is limited, but the idea of, you know, him picking up a really meaningful win over Jericho, you know, if this all plays out like we assume, and Jericho gives him a really solid victory and makes him look very strong in the match, and you know, I think it could be the moment to crown him, just because SmackDown and Sheamus as champion is, I mean, I guess in my opinion, the storylines have been pretty weak, and you may disagree with me on that. But since Sheamus has become champion, I thought the main event storyline surrounding SmackDown have been kind of lackluster, and I don't think that has anything to do with him. I just think it has to do with the fact that they never really established his character before they made him a champion, and I think he needs some time away from the belt to maybe regroup a little bit. So this could be a good time for Ziggler to slip into that role, because he's been, you know, really strong verbally, you know, since he's got into this feud with Jericho, and you know, the big win could push him into a spot, and there's quite a few baby faces to send him after. So I think it could be a good move.
Yeah, I still don't know which way I'm going with this. As far as, you know, do I think that Ziggler is going to cash in or not? Obviously, my premium prediction article will be up Sunday evening. I know you're doing one as well. It should be up sometime on Sunday. We'll have to see how it plays out. I'm still chewing on it. I'm not trying to pass the buck. I'm not trying to say, wait to see what's in my article. I just don't know. I'm kind of in the middle on this, and I don't know. I like that. I like the fact that we don't know. This is not knowing in the good way, as opposed to when we often don't know in the bad way. Let's just go through this then from the start to finish. I guess we've looked at the news of what came out of the show and how it relates to SummerSlam. Nothing really major happening on the show again, other than that world title match being added on. But that was a pretty good SmackDown, taped on August the 14th in Austin, Texas. We did a video package that recaps what happened with Sheamus and Del Rio everything leading in and how we got to where the match had been canceled and whatnot. We get our standard opening with the pyro, Josh Matthews and Michael Cole checking in on commentary, and Del Rio's music hits immediately as he enters the ring. He gets a microphone and says that he wanted his world title shot back now. He said that peasant Sheamus stole his car, and how he gets rewarded for that is he doesn't have to defend his title. He questioned what kind of GM and man Booker T was, if he was always giving in to Sheamus' demands. He said that he deserved the match, and he wanted it back right then. Booker T's music hit. Booker T comes to the ring. Got a fair reaction from the crowd. Not a huge one, but not terrible either. Booker said ever since he'd become GM, Del Rio had been a pain to him. Del Rio said he didn't care. Sheamus had damaged his property, and he made him pay because that's what men do. Booker T said, real men don't hire other people, don't hire goons to beat up, you know, their enemies. He said that Del Rio earned his shot, Del Rio said that he had earned his shot. He had been speaking with an attorney. Booker T looked real pissed off before anything else could happen. Chris Jericho's music hit, and Jericho got a big pop, I think mostly because he wasn't expected here, not trying to take away from his star, but I think there was kind of a split-second delay where everybody was like, really, Jericho? Cool. And you know, nobody expected that to happen. Jericho comes out, tells Del Rio to shut the hell up. He is in full Y2J mode. He talked junk to Del Rio, said he sounded like a chihuahua. Del Rio said something to him in Spanish. Jericho says, I can speak Spanish too, and speaks back to Del Rio in Spanish. Del Rio says, hey, be careful, don't cross the line. Jericho tells everyone that he just told us that he told Del Rio in Spanish that his breath smelled like dog poop. Then Jericho said he had a great idea. He wanted to challenge Del Rio for his match for the number one contendership at SummerSlam, and after he beat him, he would go on to beat Ziggler at SummerSlam and go on to win the ultimate big one and become the world heavyweight champion. Booker said that was a great idea, and for the first time ever, Chris Jericho versus Alberto Del Rio in the main event, and we had a commercial with a hype for the tag match coming up. First time ever, Chris Jericho versus Alberto Del Rio. Absolutely no hype. I liked the opening segment. I thought everybody did okay here. But why are we giving away first-time-ever matches for free on TV with no hype in 2012? I don't understand how that happened.
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't, the best move in the world. I guess maybe they figured Jericho, you know, is going away for an indeterminate amount of time. I mean, he gave an interview recently where he said he's going to be gone at least, you know, 4 or 5 months, and then he has a couple of months off, but he's not even sure if he's going to come back for that. So, you know, maybe they just figured they're going to blow him out as it is and just, you know, give away as much as they can before he's gone. But, I didn't, the match announcement was no hype is an ongoing gripe we've had, but the segment itself wasn't terrible. I thought Jericho was pretty good here. I thought, you know, he was even a better fit for a feud with Del Rio than Sheamus has been. They seem to have better chemistry. And I think Del Rio is improving now that he kind of seems like the adult in this feud, with Sheamus, being kind of the childish character who vandalized his car and whatnot. I mean, he seems to be doing a little bit better now that he has a bit of moral high ground. So I think the story is better than it has been, but I think this segment pointed out more than anything that the Sheamus and Del Rio feud just hasn't had much chemistry at all.
Yeah, it's just bland. They've damaged Del Rio so much, and then he lost clean to Sheamus the last pay per view, and you know that more than anything is what's hurting the feud. Is just we saw Sheamus beat him clean in the middle of the ring, and why would I care to see it again? So that's the biggest problem they have with just the feud. But yeah, I thought Jericho was good here. It was something different, something fresh, and it worked out. I mean, they managed to put heat on both matches, both the Jericho Ziggler match and the Sheamus Del Rio match at the same time, as they let this whole thing play out throughout the show. So, it worked, and Del Rio had somebody better to work with on the mic with Jericho. So, a good opening segment. I was pleasantly surprised when it went off. I was like, well, okay, that's pretty good. And real quick before we go on any further, just I wanted to ask you, I didn't cover the show. I was working an indie show Friday night, and so I wasn't able to cover it live, but I did watch it Saturday morning. And, you know, it's always, we've talked about before how you can tell how good a show is a lot of times by how quick we move through it. Granted, I wasn't having to cover, but yet I was still surprised when the show went off the air. I was like, wow, I thought it went by pretty quick. It was an overall enjoyable show. Did you get that sensation while you were covering it, or was covering it making it drag a little bit more?
I thought it was an average show. You know, I thought all the action we saw throughout was pretty good, so... And when we were live in the arena and things were happening, I thought the show moved along at a pretty good pace. But there were a lot of video packages, and I think that that might have slowed down the show for me a little bit. But other than that, I thought it was fairly good.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't the greatest SmackDown ever, but I thought it did move at a pretty good clip. It's always one of those time distortion things like we talk about all the time. How it's really fast, or sometimes you're like, holy God, another hour! I can't believe it. But we come back from commercial, and here we go. This is another gripe of mine. We go into our first match, of the night. It's tag match. Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara teaming up for the first time. I mean, like, I really want to cuss at this. We try to be good on the All Access, and so I'm trying real hard not to just unleash just a stream of curse words. But how do you have the old masked Latino wrestler and the new masked Latino wrestler, the first time they've really been put together in any meaningful way, absolutely no hype? I mean, why was this not beat to death and drummed up on? This really frustrated me that Sin Cara and Rey Mysterio came up for the first time with no hype whatsoever. I mean, even as bad as Jericho and Del Rio was, like you say, Jericho's leaving, and so they, you know, maybe they're just trying to get what they can. Mysterio's not, and this is one of those moments that you know, we talked about from the time they signed Sin Cara, and yes, he's been more of a bust than not at this point. So I don't make it sound like it was this epic moment, but if he does find his groove in WWE and goes on to be the new Rey Mysterio and plays that role for a long time like Rey has, then looking back, this is going to be a significant moment, and it was meaningless. It was used to get over an Intercontinental title match that nobody really cares about, and no hype for this. How frustrating is that?
Yeah, you know, I guess it depends on, you know, what your long-term perspective is for Sin Cara. It was a shame because I actually liked the match, and I thought they worked well together as a team. So, you know, if they would get some hype, I think they would be a great tag team if they wanted to put him in that role. But, I mean, obviously they have bigger plans for both of them, Mysterio more so than Sin Cara probably at this point. But, yeah, it was disappointing. I mean, it could have been something big, and I think it would be, you know, a huge treat, if they're doing the West Coast, you know, Southern California tour, or even the southwest part of the U.S. where they have high Hispanic population. You know, it would be a good treat for them to do a run together, and especially if they built to a feud eventually. I mean, that would probably sell tickets in those areas.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could do a good babyface versus babyface showdown feud with these two, like they'll have to have at WrestleMania, for example. Those types of matches where babyface versus babyface, they could team together, have a little split. It doesn't have to be where one turns on the other. They just kind of get irritated with each other, and, you know, then it becomes who's the best, you know, high flyer in WWE. There's so much they could do here, and it's just, we'll put them together, and we'll make a big deal about it on the headsets while it's going on, and then we'll forget about that. It's just really frustrating to me to see those two standing in the ring together, shaking hands, and no hype for that moment at all. But after they shook hands, Cody Rhodes makes his ring entrance. Said last week he attempted the unthinkable. He wanted to expose the abomination that is Sin Cara's face. He said he wanted the children and the elderly to turn away because through various sources he had managed to collect enough information that he had an artist compile a drawing. And then he said, everybody look, you know, turn away if you don't want to see this. And up on the screen flashes this caricature of a guy with like hair coming out of his nose and giant teeth and hair coming out of his, I mean, just a ridiculous, it wasn't even human. It was a caricature is the best way to describe the picture. And it was kind of a silly, funny moment, but it was more dumb, I think, to me than anything else. That led to our first match of the night, and it was Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara defeating The Miz and Cody Rhodes at 4 minutes and 12 seconds. The match was good. It was a 4-minute match. It's fast. What I really liked, though, was the finishing sequence. You have Sin Cara, Miz taking Sin Cara over the top rope with a clothesline, but Sin Cara leans over and ends up dropping Miz instead. He catches, he goes to skin the cat and flip back over. When Cody grabs the mask and starts pulling on the mask, trying to get it off of Sin Cara's face, and Cara's hanging there on the ropes, trying to hold on to the mask, when Rey Mysterio comes flying through and hits the 619, followed by his splash for the finish, and then Mysterio took the Intercontinental belt, left it on the floor for Miz, and kind of pointed to it, referencing their match at SummerSlam. Again, like I said, good match. It's fast, so there's not a whole lot you can get here, but everybody worked, you know, quick for a 4-minute match. There was a lot of impact in those 4 minutes, but I really dug the finish. I thought it was real inventive what they did.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the tag team matches, benefit, Mysterio and Sin Cara quite a bit. I mean, Mysterio more because of his, you know, advanced age. He's not quite as good at extended matches as he used to be. He's not quite as explosive over the long haul. But Sin Cara, mostly due to him still really picking up the WWE style. I mean, I don't think he quite has it down yet. He's improving. But, I think these shorter matches where he's not relied upon, to carry, a long bit of offense in the ring is probably good for him. So I think both guys look pretty good here. And maybe, the tag team division may be a place where Sin Cara can kind of come into his own.
Yeah, and if they're really trying to rebuild the tag division and you get some real teams out there, a tag team of Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara could be compelling for a while. Wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I mean, if they decided to use those two that way, or there's probably other wrestlers that you could put with Sin Cara too that would make for interesting tag teams. I mean, they have a lot of of people down in FCW that could fill that role nicely. But that would be the most interesting, I would think, if you wanted to turn it into a single feud down the road. Those two can really go together. If I had to guess, just based on how their styles would match.
Yeah, I just liked it because it was different in the sense that usually we get a small guy and a big guy is what most tag teams are. In some semblance, some guy is the big guy and then one of them's the smaller guy in theory. And they were both little guys and the other guy being big in stature. I just think it could be, fun to watch play out and something a little bit different. After commercial, we get the video package that recaps Triple H and Brock Lesnar. We'll quick put you on the spot. Who goes over in this match?
Will and I talked about this pretty extensively on the countdown, and I think my answer hasn't really changed. My gut says Triple H probably ends up going over here, but my head, really wants Lesnar to be in that spot to pick up the steam that he needs to head towards WrestleMania. So I hope they do the right thing and put Lesnar over, but I have absolutely zero confidence in that pick.
Yeah, we're on the same page. Lesnar should go over. Triple H will go over, unfortunately. Lillian Garcia introduces Tyler Rex and Curt Hawkins, who come to the ring, and here is really the moment where I'm going to have to watch my language, because as I'm watching this play out on Saturday morning and kind of taking notes for audio, I stop and I stare at this. What am I seeing? They get in the ring and they do a striptease. An honest to God striptease. If you didn't see it, all I can tell you is look it up if you don't believe me. Complete with the rip-away clothes and the whole nine yards, and now we know what Tyler Rex's previous job was. He also said, my other job. And apparently it was as a male stripper, and so we had the Magic Mike moment before our second match, Rex and Hawkins defeating a couple of local guys in a minute and 20 seconds. What in the blue hell was that, Jake? On Dynamite Weekly this week, we talked about the AEW firing very briefly. We talked about how the week before, when he said what he said, I took up for him and said that I thought people were making a bigger deal out of it than they should have. This week I said, I still stand by that, but he's been an idiot in the way that he's acted. But come on, they fire the guy because he's not, he's not doing PG things, and then they bring out a male striptease team? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it literally makes, no sense if you want to put it into that perspective. Especially in a PG environment. I mean, who's going to get anything out of, a striptease act where they're, where they're wearing suits and then they just strip down to their wrestling trunks? I mean, it's not, any more R-rated than anything, else on the show. And so women really aren't going to get a thrill out of it. And I don't think most men would either. So, I don't know. It's a bizarre turn of events for these two, and I guess this is how they're trying to show Booker T that they're committed. But even then, it's silly. And when you look at the entire AW scenario and what he did on television, like you said, I think might have been a little bit overblown, considering years ago they had Big Show make the same joke on broadcast television, no less on SmackDown. So I don't think that was the reason for his firing. It was probably something, post that, where he continued to make an ass out of himself. But, it's a very strange situation, and I hope this is over for Rex and Hawkins soon, because it was brutal. I mean, the crowd was literally deathly silent. Like, they had no idea how to react. And they had, Rex and Hawkins were just standing there gyrating in front of a silent crowd. It's just like, that would be the most painful experience of their wrestling career.
I mean, you're looking at what? Probably somewhere between 7 and 10,000 people usually at these TV tapings for SmackDown, depending on the arena and whatnot. So several thousand people, let's put it that way, several thousand people in the arena, you could have heard a bug fart. I mean, nobody booed it, nobody cheered it. They just looked at it and kind of had the same expression I did, which is, what am I seeing? This, we've seen things fail to get over. This failed to do anything. Like you said, it was just deathly silence. Okay, we'll just move on because we spent more time on this than we probably should have. But it was one of those moments where you just sit there and look at the TV screen and reevaluate whether or not you should be a wrestling fan. We get the Raw rebound hype for Punk and Cena would be after the break, and after the break we get the basically the complete replay. It was a recap, not a full replay over what's going on with CM Punk, his title reign, and then the way he's kind of changed his turn, if you will, and leading everything up to the triple threat match at SummerSlam. He was backstage with William Regal at this point. He walked up to her and talked about being the most powerful man on the planet when he was the Raw GM and just the fleeting nature of power itself. And he's waxing on philosophically, and then some, big hearty chick who could easily play the part of, put her in a flannel shirt with no sleeves in it, and she's a caricature of the big scary bulldog or whatever. I mean, just a large lady comes up and hands him trash bags and goes, here you go. What am I paying you for? Take this trash out. Come on, get to work. And, lampoons on the whole idea. It was kind of a cute moment. It's always nice seeing Regal. He's a funny guy, but they really like this storyline an awful lot, and I don't get it. Eva's not compelling. I mean, she looks great when she's in her, office, sixth teacher sort of outfit, but it's not really getting over, is it?
And not that I could tell. I mean, it definitely, it was a fun angle just because of how committed Regal seemed to the whole thing. But it was just bizarre, kind of how they started the conversation kind of innocently about Eve possibly becoming the assistant GM, and then Regal just goes to a very kind of dark place very quickly. It was kind of a strange segment, but I think the point was to kind of let Eve know that her ego swelling could come back to burn her, and I think that was the point, but. They kind of went for the comedy route at the end, and maybe that got a little lost there.
Yeah, it was a strange moment nonetheless. He did wish her luck in her match with Caitlin for later. After commercial, we get the Wade Barrett promo or the Wade Barrett vignette that we're getting. Going on again about going back to his roots and how he had gotten soft, and he was getting back to it, but his barrage is not done yet. As good as these videos are, and they've been very good, and we talked about this briefly last week, I still, I kept hoping that they said the barrage thing last week, and were like, okay, they said it, everybody went, oh, and they'll let it die. But no, they seem committed to this Barrett barrage thing. People can go back last week and listen to the extended version, but why? They're really not going to drop this, are they?
It doesn't seem like it. It's really bizarre to me. I mean, more so just because I don't know why you have a character with an extended absence due to injury, and you want to reboot his character. And they seem to be, wanting to do that with these vignettes. And I think the vignettes are effective. But then at the end, you immediately link him to his previous character that wasn't really any good. I mean, it's just bizarre that you would go to all this effort to film these vignettes and then, right at the end, give people a reminder of exactly what he was before, which was a guy that they really didn't know what to do with.
Yeah, I mean, I liked Barrett from the time he was on NXT. I thought he had a great look, and he was with Jericho, and you could tell he was picking up pointers very, very quickly. I mean, he was getting better and better every week, and then, he was the leader of Nexus and the Core, which was an unmitigated disaster, and all those sorts of things. But I had always kind of liked him, but these vignettes really make him look like a total badass, and I think really go back to that character that he had in NXT that was so good. But you're right, dude. At the very last second, when you're like, wow, look at Barrett coming back all hard-ass. My barrage is just beginning. Really? We're going back to that? Oh, God. I mean, it is kind of a letdown, right, at the very end. So hopefully they listen and let that sort of thing go, because I'm kind of tired of hearing about the barrage. I think most people are. Caitlin makes her ring introduction. We get a video of her beating Beth Phoenix on Monday. Eve follows at that point. Katie Long comes out last and joins the announce team. And that led to our third match of the night. If you're following along with Jake's report, Eve did not defeat Katie Long. she defeated Caitlin at 2 minutes and 32 seconds. Though, maybe your sentence isn't exactly wrong. Well, I'm sure, certainly we're going to see some fallout with those two. But Eve beats Caitlin in 2.5 minutes. We had kind of a standard Divas match that we get. Eve being okay, Caitlin being okay, neither one of them great. Some rough moments. They wanted to stumble on each other a couple of times, I noticed, but Eve hits a big spinning net breaker at the end for the out of a suplex position for the win. I didn't like the fact that she went over clean like that. I thought they should have done. I mean, I wouldn't have minded a roll-up pin sort of clean thing, but just to hit a move, hit almost like a finisher and then cover. I didn't like the finish of it so much, but I'd rather have Eve win here, because even if it's silly storytelling, there's more stories to be told with Eve as assistant and feuding with Katie Long than there is with Caitlin being the assistant and still not really having a purpose on television.
Yeah, I mean, there really wasn't a whole lot to get out of Caitlin, in that role. So I think they made the right call here. I don't know where they go from here with her. I mean, it seemed like they tried to build her up slightly for this match, and then they literally had nothing planned for beyond Friday's SmackDown. But yeah, it was a decent match. I mean, as far as the Divas stuff goes, it kept the action moving, and it was all right. I mean, I think they're gonna have some fun stuff to do with Eve and Teddy now that they're seemingly on equal footing, both being assistants to the general manager. So, maybe I hope they don't get them too involved with other storylines, because that's always the big risk where you got, these cronies for Teddy and these cronies for Eve, and they fight this feud out in the ring. So I don't know. It seems like it would be better as just backstage sniping and drama than it would be carrying over into the ring.
Yep, and then after the match, of course, Evie does go over. She talks to Teddy, says she's going to be happy to work with him. She didn't really rub it in his face. She was just kind of neutral. And, she fawned it a little bit, but it wasn't like, ha, 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 suck it. It wasn't really over the top. It was just kind of, smuggish more than anything else. Teddy just, he is completely stone-faced and just staring off and kind of no-sold it. We go to commercial. We come back. Daniel Bryan enters the ring, does the whole yes-no thing. Randy Orton enters at that point. For our fourth match of the night, top of the second hour, and it was Randy Orton defeating Daniel Bryan in 14 minutes and 28 seconds. A fantastic match that I really recommend you go out of your way to see. It was just a lot of fun to watch these guys go. I'm away from home doing indie work this weekend, and was watching the show with several indie wrestlers around, and as this match continued to build, I had more and more people kind of surrounding me and watching this thing play out. Just a lot of fun. I didn't like the ending so much. It was cute. It made sense. All those sorts of things. But it was so very predictable. You've got Daniel Bryan has Randy Orton in the yes lock in the middle of the ring. Orton's teasing, tapping out. Suddenly we get Kane's pyro and music hits. Bryan breaks the hold, slides out of the ring towards the announce table side, stands there, looks around. No Kane. Finally shrugs his shoulders, dives back in the ring as Randy Orton is struggling to his feet. Bang, it's an RKO and the victory for Randy Orton. Yes, it protects Bryan a little bit. It makes him, he doesn't necessarily look like a schmuck because Kane has been attacking him and whatnot. I don't know. It wasn't terrible. I just personally didn't like it, but I really liked the match.
Yeah, I can't really think of a moment recently, whether it's, verbally or in the ring where Daniel Bryan hasn't been phenomenal. I mean, the guy's he's in his stride right now and he's doing, really great work. So I really enjoyed the match. I think Orton, as always, is pretty formulaic. So we get the same stuff from him when he's out there every time, basically. This was a pretty good match. And, I think Bryan may have looked like a bigger star here, surprisingly to me. as the match carried on, I was surprised by the amount of offense that Brian got. You know, especially with the is it the yes lock or the no lock now? I think he's doing
It is the no lock now. I apologize.
Yeah, so the no lock was locked in center of the ring when the Kane surprise pyro thing happened, and obviously the way it played out was Orton picking up a victory. But I thought Brian looked especially strong here, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him pick up a win, on Sunday. And I hope he moves on, because he definitely, needs to be in one of the title pictures anyway. He's just been fantastic lately.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. Andy didn't kill it. I don't know. For me, I was like, because as soon as he slid out of the ring, I'm like, wait, he's gonna let Orton recover, hit the RKO, and it's exactly what happened. And one of those times when predictable is not a great thing. It wasn't terrible, but it was a moment where I thought, damn, I would have liked something different. Not a sin by any stretch of the imagination. Again, would you agree, if you've only got time to watch one match, this is the one to watch?
Yeah, definitely. It was almost 15 minutes, if I remember right, and it was a really good match. I mean, I think anybody who enjoys the WWE style will really like that match.
After commercial, we get Santino. Well, after the match, Kane did appear on the apron and smiled at Brian. I didn't see where he came from. He did just kind of smile at Brian, and that's how we left it going into commercial. Afterwards, Santino joins the commentary team. Antonio Cesaro with his terrible-ass music and hot-ass girlfriend, make their ring entrance, and he does the bit where he says he speaks in five languages. He calls Santino a loser in five languages. I like his character. I like what Oksana being with him. I think they're going to have some good stuff with that. Can't wait for him. I think it's another one of those foregone conclusions that he wins the U.S. title on Sunday. And, yes, he's playing the evil foreign heel who's going to be your United States champion. I'm going to forgive it here because I like Cesaro, Claudio Castagnoli so much. But, they've got to change his music. You hear his music and you just don't care. It, as much as I love the guy, you hear his music and go, I could care less.
Yeah, it's kind of Europop, generic guitar riff, kind of, it just has no emotional attachment to it whatsoever. I mean, it doesn't, you don't get inspired or, fearful when you hear that music coming over the loudspeaker. So it definitely could use a change. It's a buzzkill when you hear that, when such a great wrestler's attached to such, totally terrible music. So. But everything else about the match was pretty good.
Yeah, led to our fifth match of the night. Antonio Cesaro defeating Zack Ryder in a minute and 20 seconds. Ryder got in, broski boot or whatnot. But Cesaro hits the pop-up European uppercut, the very European uppercut, and the neutralizer for the win. Post-match beats up Santino around the announce area and then finally leaves with Oksana. They're going to make the YouTube show meaningful this Sunday by switching the title to Cesaro. I mean, surely to God. Don't you think this has got to be his time?
Yeah, I mean, Santino really hasn't added anything to the belt. And I think Cesaro, is compelling enough in the ring, and they're doing enough right with this character and Oksana's involvement that he makes sense as the U.S. champion. I mean, he's doing the foreign language mockery thing. So, putting the U.S. title on him is a little bit of irony that I think could be fun for a heel character like him right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think they've got a real possibility here with him as the U.S. champion. I think he can do a lot of good to it. And I'm just going to gloss over the fact that Zack Ryder is just being treated like he is. I've said before, and yes, it's a little bit of hyperbole because it's not technically illegal, but it's criminal what they're doing to this guy. There's no other term for it. It is absolutely criminal what they're doing to him. So I'm just going to go past it. And I must have missed it in your report. I forgot where it was in here, but I did gloss over a segment where Eve was backstage talking to Booker T. Said she was happy to be on his staff and thanked him for the opportunity. Said he was concerned about her working with Teddy, and she said, "Oh no, Teddy and I, I've got no problems. That's the past. The past is the past. I'm just happy to be here." She walked off. Booker said thank you, shook her hand. She walked off with Booker looking at her with the crazy eyes. So it looks like even Teddy Long will be feuding for the foreseeable future after the Ryder Cesaro match, we go to commercial, we come back, we get the another video package of Lesnar and Triple H, complete with the Shawn Michaels information, or Shawn Michaels part this time, and then, of course, his arm being broken and all the sympathy for Shawn Michaels. That led to Del Rio making his entrance in his Maserati, Ricardo Rodriguez handling ring introductions. Chris Jericho was shown backstage walking towards the ring when Ziggler comes up out of nowhere, hits him with a briefcase, hits him with several other objects, beats him down in the back. Ziggler screams at him, he'll never win the big one, and won't let him overlook him as they go into commercial. They come back, Del Rio's mocking Jericho, asking for some Spanish lessons. He said that Jericho was obviously going to have to forfeit the match and have Ricardo announce him as the winner. He demanded Booker T restore his match, give him his title shot at SummerSlam, but Jericho's music hits. Jericho kind of, you know, limps, sells it to the ring for our sixth match of the night and your main event. Alberto Del Rio defeating Chris Jericho in 9 minutes and 12 seconds. Finish on this game, you have Ziggler running down to ringside in a surprise moment where Del Rio pushes Jericho away. I think he's coming out of the walls of Jericho, if I remember correctly. Kicks Jericho away. Ziggler jumps up on the apron, pulls the top rope down, which causes Jericho to tumble to the floor, which the ref didn't see. He then throws Jericho back in the ring, which allows Del Rio to hit a kick to the face for the win. And we'll get to the post-match stuff in just a second. 9 minute and 12 second match on this one. Another good match. I really enjoyed this match as well. I think Del Rio is a talent in the ring. I've said it before. Chris Jericho, we know what he brings to the table. I thought they worked well together. They had really good chemistry. And the Ziggler interference at the end was a surprise and led into the post-match stuff. So before we get to post-match, what did you think about the match? Again, I'm saying if you can only catch two matches, if you only catch one, do Orton Bryan. If you can catch two, Orton Bryan in this one.
Yeah, you know, I think Chris Jericho, did exceptionally well selling as a babyface here. And I can't think of anybody else on the roster who does it better, who really makes heels look great, in the ring as a babyface. And it's one of the things you miss on the roster when he's not playing the Y2J character, because it doesn't seem like anybody else is committed to doing it. I don't know if it's, protection, or ego stuff or whatever it happens to be, but if you watch this match, pay attention to how well, Chris Jericho sells Del Rio's kicks as a result of the rib injury and the way they played into that throughout the match story they told. It's hard to think of another match recently that made Del Rio look this good and actually, played that well into, the pre-match attack. So kudos to Jericho for that, and I think, this is just another good Del Rio performance. He doesn't really, have up or down. He seems like he's pretty consistent in the ring, so you got to give him that, too.
Yeah, I mean, Jericho looked vulnerable here, which I think was the point. And of course, that led to the post-match stuff. You've got Del Rio putting the cross-arm breaker on Jericho while Ziggler's mocking at him, laughing at him. Sheamus comes out and makes the save. Del Rio manages to fight him off long enough to run out into the crowd Sheamus gives chase. Del Rio escapes into the crowd. We see Ziggler just flees back up the ramp when Sheamus comes running out. Jericho laid out in the ring. Booker T comes out at that point. Sheamus grabs the mic and begs for Booker T to reinstate the match. He asks Sheamus if he knows what he's doing. Sheamus replies that yes, he does. He knew he's injured and all those sorts of things. Sheamus said the only person who wanted the match more than Del Rio was him, so one more time he asked him to do it. They went back and forth for a while, but finally Booker says, that's fine, you want it, you got it. Sheamus versus Del Rio at SummerSlam to go back again to the match that they had. The post-match stuff was kind of dumb because the idea of canceling this match and then reinstating it was kind of dumb. Well, I mean, it wasn't anybody's fault. It wasn't terribly delivered. I don't like the story. I just think it's dumb to cancel this match and go back to it like that. I mean, I said from the very beginning I didn't think it would be the match, at least not a straight-up singles match. It would be something, a no DQ. Some sort of gimmick would come to it, or they'd add a third person. I mean, it looks like I'm wrong on that, but they, you know, if you look at everything they did leading up to it, I mean, when they canceled the match, I was like, aha, here we go, now the new match will be made, whatever it is. No, back to just a straight singles match. And again, I expect Sheamus to win here and potentially Dolph Ziggler cash in, but I, you know, they, Del Rio is damaged. They need to go back and make him look like the badass they did when he first debuted in WWE. What did you think of the finish of the show? And do you think it was, I mean, I know you said at the top of the show that you didn't, you weren't any more excited for the show than you were before, but do you think that was an effective close? Is that the best thing they could have done, the last memory to leave with people going into SummerSlam?
Well, you know, the reason I thought it was interesting, and we talked about this a little earlier, is, you know, they had the injury angle last week with Sheamus, and then they called off the match, and then, you know, they deliberately made, you know, put Jericho and Ziggler, you know, and they kind of sewed them into this main event storyline, as it were. And, you know, I think it it made sense, you know, just from the perspective that it, you know, it puts, you know, Ziggler in the same ring as these three guys. You know, Jericho being, you know, a legend and you know, the number one contender and the world champion. And, it, you know, it just puts the thought into your mind, you know, that Ziggler, you know, could at least, you know, cash in that Money in the Bank briefcase. I mean, the only reason to deliberately go with an injury and then put the same match right back on the card to me would be to give Sheamus an excuse for dropping that belt.
Makes perfect sense to me, and Jason Powell and I will be here Sunday night to find out what they do with that match and all the matches on SummerSlam, both of us providing coverage, and then, of course, a after-show audio review of the full SummerSlam pay-per-view. That will be exclusive to our members, so if you want to listen to that show and be able to follow along with Jason and I on the ad-free version of the site, all you got to do is be a .NET member. Head on over to ProWrestling.net again. Look on the right-hand side of the page. Click on the .NET member sign-up link, and we will get you started. You'll get that audio access to the ad-free version of the site. You can talk with other members in the .NET member forum section while the show's going on. And, heck, you can even write a blog about it afterwards in the .NET member blog section. Jake, you got any more to add before we get out of here?
Well, Will Pruitt, Ryan Kester, and I, post SummerSlam, will be doing the one-shot reactions to the show. So, if while you're waiting for Chris and Jason to record the audio, you can at least catch our brief, you know, one sentence reactions to what happened on the show. You know, just maybe a half hour after the show goes off the air.
My fault, I had forgotten about that. That's right. These guys will do a one-shot. They'll give you a letter grade for it and let you whether know it's worth a replay or not. So if you can't watch the show live and you're wondering if you should buy the replay, these guys will have their opinion for you. Again, about a half hour after the show goes off the air, Jason and I will be along a couple of hours after that with our review members exclusive. So sign up now to be a .NET member. Jake and I will be back next week for your all-access podcast once again. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you for your continued support of ProWrestling.net. We will see you next week. See you Sunday night for SummerSlam. Take care.